Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Friday opens like this. This song on a Friday, Buffalo Football Friday, hit a little bit different when you win on the previous Monday night or Sunday, and you're 4-2, as opposed to okay, drop two straight, 3-2, really need to get a win, could be 3-3, or after a loss, just in general. But here we are today. With the Bills sitting at 4-2 and a chance to go 5-2, looking really good in the standings. Some games that matter around them and the league this weekend that we're going to get into today on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And our Football Friday, of course, is brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott in this first hour, most likely at around 10:45 a.m., give or take. So just kind of be ready. I always say have your head and ears on a swivel there. You never know if the coach calls a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depending on meetings and how things go there. But right around 10:45 is what I'm told Sean McDermott. His appearance will be happening today. We'll get a look at the injury report. And of course, our Barnes injury report is looking really good right now. Brought to you by the Barnes firm, Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Not because of the quantity. That's not looking good. 16 names on the injury report. But the quality. Only one of a DNP did not practice, did not participate. That is Daquan Jones, and he had a vet rest day attached to it. But little concern that we'll ask Sean McDermott about with Ray Davis. A calf injury yesterday, or a calf listed with a calf injury yesterday and limited in practice. Does that mean he got hurt in practice and had to leave? Is that just something he got treatment on, so they just kind of had to list him? We'll find out a little bit more there. And of course, lots of eyes on Amari Cooper and whether or not he's going to play. It appears as though that is trending that way. But we'll ask the Bills head coach about Amari Cooper, bringing him into the fold, and what it means for the team and the offense and everything else going forward. In the meantime, Titans come to Buffalo. Will Levis and the Titans come to Buffalo. A really great opportunity for the Bills here to get to 5-2. I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2 if they play the way they should play. And that's always not the case, right? I mean, you get the Titans at home this weekend and they have a good defense. You have at Seattle the next week. You get the Dolphins with maybe Tua at home after that. You go to Indy the week after that. These are winnable games, all of them. And I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2. If the Bills are 7-3 after the next 4 weeks, I think that's still not bad. You take it. Yeah, you'd love to win every game, but 7-3 is a good record. You'd still have a very firm control of the AFC East. And I think this season right now, I mean, you think about the stark contrast of what this season could have looked like at around 8 o'clock on Monday night compared to what it looks like now, not only after the win, but then bringing in Amari Cooper. Think of the stark difference of how the season could have looked, how maybe even was looking after week three. I'm sorry, after what would that be? 5, sorry, against the Texans. When they lose that game and lots of injuries and they're piling up in Baltimore and Houston, 2 losses. Why do we always say week-to-week league? It's not just a week-to-week league when it comes to winning and losing and how you play and matchups and opponents. It literally is week-to-week how you feel as a fan, right? Even on a daily basis. I was thinking about this with the Jets this week, which is the Jets lose Monday to the Bills, and it is just all out. Okay, there they go in New York. Fans are really upset, obviously. Jets lost season and Aaron Rodgers and, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they're 2-4 now. And then literally like 12 hours later, they trade for Devontae Adams. And I'm thinking, if you're a Jets fan, it's like, oh my God, you go from the lowest of lows of the loss to we got Devontae Adams. Everything's great now. You kind of have to pick yourself up, whether it's justified or not, whether it's actually going to work out or not. It's kind of the same thing with the Bills here in a lot of ways, right? You're feeling good after Monday anyway, after the win. But then Amari Cooper comes along. You think about how Bills fans and how you felt listening right now, how you felt after week number 5 losing to the Houston Texans and being 3-2. And oh my gosh, sky is falling. Here come the Jets. You could wind up losing first place in the division to just a week and a day later, 2 days, I guess, after the Amari Cooper trade, after a win and where you are. It's just wild. Week to week is what this league is. From a playing on the field standpoint and from an emotional standpoint as far as how your feelings are. It's what it is, man. It's what sports are. Had those feelings last night watching the Yankees. Man, I'll touch on that here on the show a little bit as we go on maybe, but I guess I'll just say now, like, it's historic, right? The game was historic, and I didn't even get to watch. I was at an event. I was following on my phone. Didn't even get to watch what happened in the 9th and 10th innings, but, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, yep, one out away. Here we go. Bam, I see 5-5. I'm like, what is going on? Then I actually got in my car, and I listened to the very end, and actually it was right after the home run to win it, and I turned it on. And I hear Tim Kirkchian on ESPN Radio saying, oh my God, this is like one. He goes, I've covered this league for 40 years. This is maybe the greatest playoff game I've ever watched. So from that standpoint, I'm thinking, all right, historic, great. Too bad it was my team on the wrong end of it. Now the Yankees had a chance to go up 3-0. Now they're 2-1. And if they lose today, tonight to the Guardians, it's 2-2. And you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They're going to blow this. But because they're still up 2-1, it's kind of softened the blow and me and, you know, recognizing and how historic of a game it was last night. But you got to get the win tonight, man. And then what happened with the Mets last night? They got blown out, right? What was the final score of the Mets game last night? I think it was like, what was it when I went to bed? 10-2? Something like that? What was the final score last night? I'm going to take a look here. You don't even know, Josh? Come on. Did you have any updates today? You know what the score was last night? Here we go. 10-2, see? There you go. 10-2 last night.
You should just went with your first guess.
I should have. I know. I'm looking at you and you're like, I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing, Sal. 10-2 last night. Dodgers lead the Mets 3-1 in that series. Sabres last night, too. I mean, Paul's going to join us at 11 o'clock because we have to talk about what's going on with this team already. Here we go again. Same old Sabres. Same old, same old. I mean, is that the case? The losses are. But how they're playing, how they're losing, is very, very frustrating. The game against the Penguins the other night, extremely frustrating. And then last night, from everything you said, and again, I wasn't able to watch all of it. I saw off in the corner where I was, I saw a couple, you know, goals and a couple things going on. But I really couldn't watch last night. But after reading online from a lot of you, last night was just not a good night. Did not play well. Goaltending failed them last night, too. So last 2 games, maybe, you could look at it that way. So I'm not in a great space with the Yankees, but maybe you are because you don't like them or you're a Guardians fan. Maybe you're not in a great space with the Mets. We aren't with the Sabres, but I think we are with the Bills right now. That being said, there are still questions and concerns with the Buffalo Bills. And I'd like to get into kind of where you are. Get a temperature check from you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, good to be with you today. Give me a call, 803-0550. Temperature check on the Bills today with you. What are you liking? What are you concerned about? Where are you with them after six games? If I told you back in August to take a look at the schedule for the Buffalo Bills, and we did this, right? And in some capacity, we certainly did this. I know we did it on podcasts, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I'm sure we did it on Show Up in the Bulldog with Jeremy and Joe, whatever it is. We did this when the schedule came out. We did this in August. But if I had said to you in August, all right, folks, here you go. Cardinals at home, at Dolphins on a short turnaround Thursday night game. Jacksonville Jaguars at home on a Monday night, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at Houston, at the Jets on a Monday night. Will you take 4-2? I think you'd be nuts not to have said yes. Of course, you'd love 5-1. Of course, 6-0, but you'd love 5-1. But 4-2 is not a bad record to get out of that stretch. And now, like I said, I think very winnable games coming up over the next four before you meet Kansas City on November 17th here in Buffalo. And now you add Amari Cooper to the mix. But at the same time, 32nd run defense against on a per-play basis. Kicking issues. Tyler Bass. Still wondering what the offense will look like with Amari Cooper, with passing the ball. Still been a bit of a grind. Can that change? There are still things to be concerned about. This is not, oh my God, the Bills are back. Here they are. They're going to win the one seed. No. But man, they have a look at it. But they still have some question marks. And with that, still a few weeks left to the trade deadline. 803-0550 is the number to call. Temperature check on the Bills today from you. And we're going to start it off with our friend Clover out in Texas. Hi, Clover. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Really excited about Amari Cooper. Really appreciate your reporting on him. Can't wait to see what he brings to the table. Heard you on Jeremy and Joe this morning talking about Tyler Bass. Just really sad that, you know, he's struggling. And, you know, they got the new kicker. Joe was saying later that he wasn't exactly having a great year last year. And then I remember when he missed the kick in the playoff game, the Kansas City game, he was getting, like, threats afterwards, which was so horrible. And I saw him on Twitter in the off season with his charity with the cats. I said, okay, I guess he's doing well now. But I was just wondering if all of that, you know, hate was kind of still affecting him somehow. And I was just wondering how you see his mood around the facility, if he seems like he's, you know, back to his old self, or if, you know, maybe some of that's affecting him when he lines up to kick. I don't know. It's just strange because they gave him the contract extension because he was always so solid. And now it just seems like it's really falling apart.
Yeah, I think the first part of your question, Clover, can only be answered by Tyler himself. It would be reckless speculation on my part to say if it's impacting him or not. I don't know. I'm not in his head. Certainly, it's fair to wonder, though, right? Like you are. Everything that happened, everything he went through, you know, how much that still weighs on him. I will also tell you, though, you know, he's a professional athlete, and professional athletes are wired that, you know, you can't get to that spot, and that you have to, as that position specifically, even going back before last year against Kansas City, you know, he's in a spot where he knows, going back to when he was a kid, he's in a spot where he could win or lose a game with a kick. He's in a spot where all the focus is on him. So he understands, Tyler does, I'm comfortable in saying he understands the spotlight that goes with it. We both agree, you and I do, that it's despicable for anybody to send any kind of threat to anyone for any reason. But come on, over a football game and missing a kick, right? We both agree with that. That being said, Tyler Bass has been very professional about this throughout. He's been very accountable about this throughout, and I'll give you a great example. I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday he actually did an interview with Jonathan Acosta of WGRZ TV2 that Jonathan tweeted out, and it was really good. And Tyler, he asked Tyler about a new kicker coming in. He asked Tyler about, you know, where he is, the struggles that he's had. Tyler was very accountable. Tyler very much said he was very professional about it, and he said it's a results-based business, and I haven't had the results. And he understands that why they would bring in a kicker right now. And I would also say that, you know, in that interview, he said it's maybe just about him going back to the 12-year-old in him and being fun and having fun again and kicking again. And maybe that relates to your point. I'm not sure. I can't answer that first part for you because I'm not Tyler and you can only ask him. But by him saying, hey, it's about having fun and going out there and kicking again, obviously I think what he is indicating is, you know, getting that confidence back and mentally getting his stroke back and feeling like he can kick the ball the way he used to.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see some of that, and I agree. I think he understands the situation, and it does seem like the team is rallying around him, like Brandon Bean saying they're all rooting for him. So that's great. But then, you know, I've only been a fan of the Bills since 99, and I know there was a Super Bowl loss because of a missed kick, and I don't know if a lot of fans are, you know, longtime fans are thinking about that as well. So, because we can't have it come down to that. So, I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets it together. I would be interesting to watch. I heard you guys talking about maybe they activate both kickers this week. So, I don't know. But I appreciate your reporting on that, and I'm really hope it works out for him. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot, Clover. Thanks for giving a call. I'll say this about, you know, bringing in another kicker, and I've said this since the beginning. Whether it's Lucas Haversick, who they did sign to the practice squad, or someone else, I mean, the people they're bringing in don't have jobs right now as kickers because other teams around the league also haven't felt they were good enough to put on their own roster. So you're bringing in a guy. We can all sit here and say, and what's the platitude people always say, or what's the general kind of just blanket statement? Well, anybody's better than this guy, right? It's not true. And anybody, quote unquote, anybody isn't better than Tyler Bass. He is struggling, and even people who aren't as good of kickers as him may be actually more consistent and better than him right now because of the situation he's in and his struggles. But let's just go to Sunday, for example. If it's a tight game, and let's hope it's not against the Tennessee Titans, if it's a tight game in the fourth quarter and the Bills need a 45-yard kick and you see Tyler Bass run out, you're going to be like, oh my God, no, come on, he better make this. You're not going to be that confident. Are you going to be any more confident seeing Lucas Haversick run out? I'm not. Maybe you are. I can't believe you would be. And if he misses that, let's say it's Lucas Haversick, but yeah, I mean you're kind of back to where you were. So the point I'm making is, and I've said this all along, unless you bring in an established kicker through a trade or something else or some other way that you know that he's out there for some reason doesn't have a job, which I don't know why he wouldn't. I'm not sure that anybody you bring in right now is going to be really any better or at least give you any more confidence from a fan standpoint or a coaching standpoint than Tyler Bass. I am very interested to see what they do. We did mention how they could play the roster gymnastics this weekend. I'm not sure that they would activate two kickers, but if they are healthy, which appears that they're pretty healthy, we'll get that from Sean McDermott in about a half hour, less than that. And then that does open the door more for maybe having that situation. But what are you doing there? Are you actually activating two kickers? And then who's going to kick the field goals? And I don't know how that works. So I'd be surprised. Yeah, but I don't know. Let's go to Ron and Alden. Hi, Ron. You're on the Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Happy Friday.
You too.
So I've been thinking, okay, I work out here in Northrop Park, so I've been watching the stadium go up a little bit all the time. And yeah. I'm like, wow, we have barely played at home. And I go, wait, so it's almost the end of October, we've only played two home games. And that team's opposite. And I don't know how the Bills or anyone else, how the teams get to stay in the schedule. But I'm like, wow. And then we finally play home. And then we go back out west. It's like the schedule is weird. Like, we have not played home at much. But
I'm looking at it now, it'll be almost a full month since their last home game. September 23rd to October 20th.
Yep, and there's no bye week in there, so we just kept on playing. And yep. We're 4-2, that's pretty good, knowing all these home games coming up. And so checking the temperature, I'm thinking, literally with a winter coming, but checking it, I'm like, well, we got a lot of home games coming up. We played the hardest teams we had to play on the road. We've won our division games. I mean, you say we have a good look at 8-2, I'd be ecstatic with 7-3 as long as that loss is only to Seattle, because that won't matter as much then, because that's an NFC team, but... my question really to you is, you recall so many few home games early and so many home games late, And I'll hang up and listen to that. But it usually seems like we get all the tailgating done early in the year, and we're kind of getting robbed of that.
I do remember a few years ago, Ron, thanks for the call. I remember a few years ago, there was a lot made about the schedule and having a lot of home games on the back end because people were like, wait a minute. And this is when the team wasn't as good. They're going to struggle selling these games. It's in December. They're home. It's going to be cold. They're going to be out of the playoff race. I do remember that. But I do think this year seems a little bit different. You only had two home games through the first 3 weeks, and then it's road. You come back at home. What I like is it appears, and we're going to talk with Patrick Hammer at 11:30 a.m. today. It appears as though we're going to get a nice home October weather game this weekend. I've always said this. I love that stadium and the look on TV or in Orchard Park when the Bills are playing at home and it looks like it's nice out in the foliage. It's just a cool look. So I like that. So the other thing I'll say about home, I do think it will matter maybe to the play, the offense, right? You don't have to go in silent count. You can maybe incorporate a little more motion again. Being at home does matter in those situations. And of course, this week on the road, you have Will Levis, who has been pretty much a disaster turning the ball over, and you're putting him in a pretty hostile environment. That does bode well for the defense as well. Let's go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I haven't talked to you in a little bit, but I called in and I was on hold last week. But one of the things I wanted to say, well, there's a number of things that it tickles me that I hear people saying things and calling in that are what I said years ago. But here's one that nobody's ever McDermott's going to be on, and I don't know how as a coach you let a guy like Spencer Brown, that not only I don't like his play, I told you he's got cinder block for feet, but the penalties. The game that we should have actually lost against the Jets, we won, thank God. But how do you let a player out of control like that? The guy, every time there's a scrum, there's 79 every time. It's an ongoing problem. To me, that's a head coach that doesn't have control of his players. And it bothers me to see that. And we could have very easily lost it. I mean, more so than not. We were lucky to get out of that game. The other thing that you're asking, I'm so glad we got Amari Cooper. I watched him in college, outstanding, a class act. We won't have to worry about Amari Cooper coming into the game wearing culottes, you know what I mean? He's going to come in there and he's going to do a good job and work hard. But the last thing, and if you could ask, I wish I could interview McDermott. They must hate Elam. They must really hate him. He played with the elite players in his division in college, the best receivers. We have Division II guys in our back, in our defensive backs. And you got a guy like Elam that has made nothing but plays. There's got to be something going on that they just don't like this guy. And I feel sorry for him because if you put him at safety, he'd do much better than Hamlin. Much better. He is a much better.
He's not a safety. He's not a safety. He's never played it in his career. Marvin, stop. He's not a safety. He's never played it. You have to retrain. You have to retrain. It does make a difference. You have to retrain him. I know you know about football. You can't just throw him out there to duties. He'd have to retrain his whole life.
Sal, they play cover two. Everything is cover two. In the Jets game, they wish they tried to tell DeMar, go back on the Hail Mary. See if you can climb in the back seats on the end zone. I mean, it's ridiculous their defenses they play. So I think he could learn. He's a better athlete, a better tackler, and he's made plays when he was on the field. There's something going on that they don't like this kid, and I feel sorry for him because he's a better athlete than these guys. And you know what? Why not try it? You see, I mean, Hamlin's lost out there. You know, it's a nice story. He came back. Nice story. He's a terrible player. Terrible. He's terrible. You know, he's terrible. He's not a good safety. And I would thought that Bishop was going to be a little bit better, but, you know, that game he was thrown into the fire and he didn't perform well. I always like Rapp, we're lucky to be where we're at, and I hope we continue to win. But ask McDermott some hard questions. Hard questions.
What is it? Give me an example. What's a hard question? Give me an example. No. Don't give me your opinion and yell at him. What's a hard question? Hold on. See, that's it. How do you let a guy is not a question. That's not the way you phrase a question.
Can you let me finish?
Sure.
Sean McDermott, I'll ask the question.
Okay.
Sean, here my question to you is, How is it that every game there's a scrum, Spencer Brown's in the middle of it, he could cost you a game, his countless penalties, how do you let that happen as head coach? You should fine them. There's fines and things that you
can they can't, do. They can't do that. They can't. No, they can't do that. That is wrong. They can't do that as a team. That's it has to be bad. A league. It has to be a league.
That's too bad.
Okay, so you didn't know. That's incorrect on your part. So listen, here's the thing. He was asked about Spencer Brown this week. He was asked this question Wednesday, but he was asked it in a different way, not the way you necessarily want to put it. But he was asked, and his answer was, of course, I love the physical play, but obviously those are the kinds of things that just can't happen. Now my question is, what do you want him to do? Play? Do you want him to play Ryan Vandermark there instead?
You Marvin? Know what? I'd have to say this to you, Sal. In my opinion, he is the reason why Josh Allen has to spread out a lot of times.
I did not ask you that. I just asked you a question. Would you rather have them play Ryan Vandermark over Spencer Brown?
I would not be opposed to.
I got you.
I would not be opposed to it.
I got it.
The thing is, you guys will never, ever call people out on
Okay, stop. I don't want to go down. Start, Marvin, stop. You're getting to stop. Stop. We're not going to do this again.
Okay.
All right?
I know. All right,
buddy.
Don't
thanks a lot.
Me again.
Okay. No. We're not going to do this again. You said a lot. You said a lot of good things that matter, and I agree with you that Spencer Brown needs to have better control of himself. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
but that's
much.
Not. I'm not going to yell at the head coach about it. What you want me to? All but he was asked about.
I don't
it.
Want you to yell. No,
yeah. No. I know. I know.
I don't want you to yell.
I got you. I got you. All right. Thank you. We're not going to do that again. I love it, man. Marvin's so passionate. But, you know, he gets a little off the beaten path there as we go. We're going to take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean was asked, and, you know, he was asked about the penalties of Spencer Brown and the control. And he said, I'd love the physical play, but that can't happen as well. That can't happen, what we saw. There's a lot of things we can get to Sean McDermott, especially the injuries. We're going to do that when we come back. But it's time for a break right now. And we'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Second and 10, look out. And is that going to be a fumble, which is taken by Barton in the air? There's no whistle yet. And Barton, what a night this guy's having. Jaquan McMillan is the guy who hits Rattler as the ball is being released. And for the moment, ruled a touchdown.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Denver Broncos last night. Just all over the New Orleans Saints. Final score last night, Denver 33, New Orleans 10. So the Broncos moved to 4-3 on the season. They're right there in the mix in the AFC. Wild card race. Where are they? Let's see. Do they actually have a spot after last night? Let's see. Denver is in 7th. They took the spot of, I think Indy was there. They were 3-3. So Denver vaults them. They're at 7 now. We'll see. A lot of football to be played. Marvin, always count on him for, you know, fun, spirited phone call. And, no, he's not wrong about, you know, Spencer Brown controlling himself, but I just don't know, you know, there's got to be a fine line and balance there. And one thing I'll say about one of the penalties he had last week, Eric Woods said on the broadcast, Marvin, and for everybody else, like, he got a guy to the ground, then he kind of jumped on him. And Eric Wood said, you're kind of taught to do that as long as you do it in a certain way, right? And I guess that maybe the ref said he did it in a way that shouldn't have mattered and shouldn't have counted, or he shouldn't have done. So he threw a flag on him there. But I do agree it was a little bit out of control last week. And that is something that I'm sure Sean McDermott has to address with his team and will. And I'll ask him about that as well. But, you know, players are also responsible for their actions as well. And you can tell them all you want. And you also have to consider the person who, you know, if you're taking out and put someone else in and you're protecting Josh Allen, there's a lot to be considered. On the other point that he made, how did we get to Kyer Elam should be playing? What? I mean, he's not he's not better than Christian Benford or Rasul Douglas for sure. And he's not a safety. I mean, you can hate on and hate the fact that DeMar Hamlin is playing all you want. And by the way, I'm just going to point out something from Monday night. Troy Aikman blamed DeMar Hamlin for a play during the middle of the game that, oh my God, he should have been there. It wasn't his responsibility. It wasn't actually even his fault. And the Hail Mary, there were like four or five guys there, not just him. So I don't know how we got to the thing about Kyer Elam, but it's not personal with Kyer, I can tell you that. I know I've talked to many people around the Bills, including Sean McDermott and other coaches. It's not personal at all with Kyer Elam. So it's not that they don't like him, but he's not at the level of play for whatever reason of, you know, obviously, A, what they anticipated when they drafted him, or B, the guys they have right now. I mean, Christian Benford is playing outstanding. And so is Rasul Douglas. So you're not gonna put him on the field at the expense of them. And he's not a safety. And if you want him to learn safety, it's going to take a long time to retrain, to relearn. Sure, I mean, you could make a couple plays out there, but it's a totally different game, especially when you play, especially when, you know, you say, well, it's all cover two, cover three. Yeah, but there is a difference in playing even in those situations at safety than it is at corner, and your run responsibilities and what you're watching and have to do. But I just don't know how we got there. 803-0550 is the number. But anyway, no, other good points, Marvin. I appreciate it and always do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott coming up at 10:45. We'll probably take a quicker break than normal and a little earlier to make sure we have time and space for him to come aboard. So let's get to Jerry and Kenmore right now. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Sal. You know, I disagree a little bit in that the penalties aren't good, but they're needed at times. You know, that DeMar, back to the DeMar Hamlin Monday night game, Cincinnati was punching us in the mouth that entire game. There was a play where Teron Johnson got hurt because he got hit when he was on the ground in the head. It's a physical game, and we have always struggled against teams that punch us in the mouth, whether it's Baltimore or Pittsburgh or the Jets or Cincinnati at times. Punch back. And if it means a penalty sometimes, that's fine. You can't just get punched in the mouth and hope that it works out in this league. It doesn't work that way. You can be intimidated. Kincaid finishing his runs the other night, the offensive line being very defensive of everything, I'm not against it. Sure, you don't want the penalties and maybe cut back a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with having swagger out there.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I do think that I think I also remember a time where Marvin called the team soft, and now he's calling and saying you shouldn't get in the mix and have penalties. I mean, yes, there's got to be a fine line. There's got to be a balance there, Jerry. And as you said, it's professional football. I would also tell you, I'll be the first one to both, A, tell you that Spencer Brown was a bit out of control on Monday night, and he needs to control himself. There's no doubt about that. I'm also not going to start benching Spencer Brown because of a couple penalties during a game. He needs to learn to be under control. Number two, I'm not here to defend and tell you how great DeMar Hamlin is. That is not the point. What I'm telling you is, though, that if you're going to make a transition there, it's not Kyer Elam. You hope that Colt Bishop comes along. I don't know why. To me, this is a Mike Edwards point. I don't know why Mike Edwards hasn't been playing. And he can't even seem to get on the field. And that was, to me, so far the miscalculation here at safety more than anything. Now, if they want to go out and do something about the safety position at some point, and I also don't think DeMar Hamlin's killed them at all at the safety position. Again, Troy Aikman made a couple references of plays from the other night. One of them wasn't even his responsibility. If you go back and watch, he just said it on the air, but it wasn't actually correct. But if you're going to make anything at safety, how about even calling up Micah Hyde? I mean, you have him there too. These are things that they're going to have to figure out over the next 3 weeks and before the trade deadline. There's no doubt about it. Let's get to a timeout right now. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, on the other side on injuries and a look ahead to the Tennessee Titans. Just thinking back a little bit about the Spencer Brown conversation with the caller Marvin a little while ago, and it's Deion Dawkins too on Monday night, I thought, kind of you know, had to be under a little bit more composure. And I wrote about it at WGR550.com, arrow up, arrow down. So, Myron, you're wrong. We do call him out. I do. I'm telling you right now, like, you got to be more composed. And the penalty in between the third and fourth quarters hurt them. The pre-snap penalties are the ones that are non-negotiable. And the Bills will tell you that all the time. Sean McDermott will tell you that all the time. Sometimes, though, an aggressive penalty you can live with, depending on the circumstance, the situation, what happened. And sometimes it really hurts your team, and that just can't happen, right? But that's what the head coach's job isn't just to, oh my God, you had a bad penalty, so I have to start yelling at you and take you out of the game. Head coach's job in any sport, and especially football, is kind of have to walk that line sometimes and understand, you know, it's a physical game, emotions get high, and if you do take that player out or you bench him or whatever, like what your replacement situation is, and you're trying to protect your quarterback, and there's all these different things. And then there's ways to try and maybe correct that throughout practice, have these conversations. I don't know. I mean, you can't find them, though, from a team standpoint, just so people know. Like, that's a league. You can't just levy your own fines. That's in the CBA. The league does that. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, going to join us here in just a little while. We'll be waiting on him here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and we'll get you his interview today and take a look at the injury report. And, of course, where the Bills stand as far as injuries. One of the things I've been saying over the last couple of days, a little bit snarky, yes, but it's true. Not a good week for the, oh my God, this team is always injured, fire the training staff crowd. I mean, yes, they had maybe a few more injuries than normal the first few weeks. But there are ebbs and flows to the injury report and to injuries and you still have to take into perspective of the rest of the league and the fact that it's just professional football and people are going to get hurt, unfortunately. And it does happen. It is really about, when you talk about training staff and what their job is, yes, there's preventative nature. There's preventative things to try and prevent you from having, you know, soft tissue injuries and things. Those are the ones that, okay, but what are we doing? What can we do differently? Are we doing something here that caused it to happen? There's also the recovery time. That's where a training staff comes in and can do a really good job, which is get this person in a better spot to recover sooner, do the right things to not have a re-injury, get them back on the field sooner. All those things get baked into what the training staff does. But man, like, Taron Johnson cracks his forearm in the middle of a football game? That has nothing to do with a training staff. That's called playing football. That's what that is. You know, you could say, like, hey, Ed Oliver, hamstring injury. What went wrong there? No doubt about it. And that's what those are questions you have to ask. But you're also going to have those happen throughout a season. When they start becoming reoccurring and you have more than usual kind of soft tissue injuries like that, then that's when you have to kind of, I think, really, you know, yeah, there you go. Hold on. So I was trying to see if we have I'm trying to just catch up here. No Sean McDermott yet, but hopefully we'll get him in a little while here. So we'll stick with you here to the top of the hour. And then we'll have Paul Hamilton a little after 11 a.m. on what happened last night with the Buffalo Sabres. But back to the injury point, just something I've said for a while, and I always say it, and it just hopefully bears, you know, truth today when we hear from the head coach about injuries today going into Sunday. Is anyone going to be ruled out? The one I will definitely ask him is Ray Davis and anything that happened there, because he was not on the injury report on Wednesday with a walkthrough, but he was limited yesterday with a calf injury. So we'll get to that as well with the Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott. So he is on the Wester hotline right now, and here is Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Sean McDermott joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. Good Friday morning to you, Coach. I know it was a quick turnaround from Monday night. Congratulations and welcome back to a Friday.
It's good to be back, and good to be back playing in front of our fans this weekend. It's been a while, first for the for the first six on the road, it's great to be back in Orchard Park this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Coach. Hopefully we'll have some good weather, too. We have Patrick Hammer coming up at 11:30 to fill us in on that, but it looks like it's going to be beautiful weather, fall football game here in Orchard Park. A bunch to get to today. We'll start with injuries as usual, Coach. You have 16 names on the injury report, but only one did not practice yesterday. What can you tell us about how things are looking for Sunday if anybody's going to be declared out for this game?
Yeah, so just update today. Mike Edwards is sick today. We'll see where that goes. Mike Edwards, the defensive back, is sick. And we'll see where that goes over the next couple of days. Ray Davis will be limited today. Don't know if we'll have him for the game. We'll just have to see. Something popped up over the last day here. So
that was the one I was going to ask you about. So he wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday. So something happened yesterday which caused him to be limited. So you'll get through this weekend and see where that goes.
Yeah, it kind of came up a little bit towards the end of the game and then reappeared yesterday during practice. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Okay, and then Khalil Shakir, I noticed, a full participant the last couple of days. Do you feel good where he is at after missing and then, of course, not being on the field as much on Monday night and limiting him a little bit in the game? You feel good where he is right now?
Yeah, I mean, that was a managed thing, just trying to, you know, when he was out there, make sure, you know, he had everything he could for us. And, he did a great job of pushing through, really not even close to 100% last week. And so that's why that was the way it was. And every week will get better. The high ankle sprains are tough. They take some time. And, again, I applaud him for playing last week and should be better this week.
And one more on the injury front. James Cook goes from limited through the walkthrough estimation to a full after missing last week. That seems like that's trending in a really good direction as well, right?
No, it does. Yeah, he had a good day of practice yesterday and looked good.
Okay, Coach. You mentioned Mike Edwards. I'd like to get to him for a second. I know he hasn't been on the field that much this year. I know he had the injury in preseason, and that kind of bled into the regular season. But a lot of fans wondering, you know, why Mike Edwards hasn't been able to get on the field. From your perspective, like, what's happened there with the signing, the injury, and his situation as far as play time?
Well, yeah, I mean, the big picture here is the injury in the spring. He had an injury in the spring, which kept him out most of the spring, and then another injury in training camp, which caused him to miss most of training camp. Mike's a good football player, but there is limited reps in the system. And then on top of that, you know, DeMar has been consistent, and so, you know, we take it 1 week at a time with every position. And, you know, initially the vision was that, you know, we thought maybe Mike would be the starter, quite honestly, when we signed him. And then the injuries have gotten in the way. So it's hard to, you know, to know what exactly he is and for him to know our system as well as we need him to execute. And so with that, he missed all the preseason games. And it's an unfortunate situation all around.
Sean, I know earlier this week you were asked this very same question, but I'm going to try and give it to this audience too. I had a caller earlier ask about Spencer Brown and the penalties and the frustration of seeing that happen and, you know, where, you know, how Sean McDermott handles it. So I'm going to ask you, like, when you see Spencer Brown in the situation he was in, maybe a couple penalties on Monday night, it seemed like there was a lot of jawing back and forth on both sides. It wasn't just him. He does lead your team with 8 penalties, but he's also a player that really helps your team. Like, how do you balance that? What are those conversations like as you kind of during mid-game and throughout the rest of the week trying to balance all of that?
Well, we start early with that process, and I think it's a great question. We start early with that process so players know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And it is a physical game, and you need to be a physical team, an aggressive football team. The way we position it is, hey, the ones that are pre-snap, those are discipline. Those are focused penalties. The ones that are post-whistle, same as. And those are the ones that we declare as non-negotiable, absolutely non-negotiable. And, you know, you're going to get an aggressive penalty via a hold once in a while. Don't love them, but we preach technique all the time. And the ones that happen after the ball is snapped and before the whistle, if those are aggressive penalties, those are going to happen from time to time. But those other ones that I already outlined, those are non-negotiable.
And then when it comes to emotional penalties too, right? I mean, you have to balance this is an emotional game, and it's a division rival, and there's things going on out in the field. So I guess that's got to be tough as well because, yeah, you want to go to a certain point. You don't want to go over the point, but it's the line. But it's always tough to kind of have that balance.
It is, but at the end of the day, again, that's why we try to, you know, set very clear expectations early in the year, and it's messaged over and over every day. And at the end of the day, it's about the team. And we had drives last week, some third downs that were third and And we had 11 out of 13, roughly, third downs that were third and six plus, and that's tough to convert those, right? So yeah. Some of that's from being on schedule early in the drive there.
All right, Sean, let's talk about Amari Cooper. What have you learned about Amari Cooper over the last couple of days now that he's been at your facility, and what are the chances of him to actually suit up and play on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. Good addition. Happy to have him, and I think Joe's done a good job, and so has Amari and the rest of the staff, teammates included. Of welcoming him and getting him integrated here. In fairness to Amari, I would say, you know, he's only been here on a short week. That is, 3 days now? This will be his third practice. Yeah. And we did a walkthrough on Wednesday due to the Monday night game there. So we'll see where it goes. And at the end of the day, we're happy to have him, and we look forward to good things going forward.
Your team signed a kicker to the practice squad. We've talked a lot about Tyler Bass and some of the struggles that he's had. I thought it was very interesting listening to him yesterday. He was very truthful and very honest, and he understood. He said it's a results-based business. He needs to be better. What are those conversations like when those things are happening with a player that, you know, you're very invested in and you have a lot of confidence in, but right now you have to look at other options, it looks like?
Well, we try and do our best, you know, to communicate all the way through the process, and I'm a big believer in, hey, you know, you don't do it off of one mistake. You don't bring somebody in off of one mistake because it leads to guys looking over their shoulders all the time. And that's not the best way to do it. But, you know, he's had, as he has mentioned, his times and challenges this year and some of last. And he's trying to work through it, and it's not easy. But at the end of the day, we need to make some of these kicks, and he knows that. So, again, trying to communicate in a very clear way what's expected and then what we have to do if we're not getting those results.
And then, Coach, of course, the Tennessee Titans this week. Will Levis has a big arm, can make some big plays. He's had some inconsistencies, but I'm sure there's a quarterback you see on film that has all the tools to make plays.
He does, and they're a talented football team. When you look at, you know, the players that they've put together on that defense and adding some again this off season, and then offensively with the receiving core and the running back there. So very talented football team, and we'll have our hands full on Sunday.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. I know you have a lot to get to today, so we'll do that and look forward to finally being back. Almost a month since you guys last played in Orchard Park, so a home game for Bills Mafia to come out on Sunday at 1:00. Best of luck to you.
All right, thanks, Sal. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is head coach Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline, and of course, his appearances, let me grab them for you, are always brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. All right, so from what he said, I'm going to guess maybe Ray Davis is going to wind up being questionable on the injury report. That's not official. It's not from him. But he said that they're going to, something popped up. We'll see how it goes. Mike Edwards, the defensive back, is sick. We'll see where that goes. Everybody else appears good to go for the Buffalo Bills. We're good to go to get onto this break. And then after that, it'll be Paul Hamilton here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's Paul Hamilton's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He keeps the people coming back for more.
Super excited, and I might just add this. I've missed Paul Hamilton, and that's the reason I'm back.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I miss Paul, too, but I wish it were under better circumstances. He joins me right now on the Wester Hotline, but let me get a few things out of the way because it is Paul Hamilton, but it is also a Buffalo Football Friday, of course, and that is brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. And, of course, it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and even though it's a Football Friday, we have Sabres to talk about because they did not look good last night. At least I don't think so. So, Paul, here's the deal. I had one eye on them a little bit. I couldn't really watch much of the game last night, and I saw the goals being scored a few times, and then all of a sudden at the end of the game, I'm reading people, and then this morning, and general consensus was, man, it just was not a good night for the Sabres. You tell me, how did this team play last night? Because it seems like from everything I read, that was not a good night.
They put in 20 minutes, but as you know, 20 minutes is not going to be enough normally to win a hockey game, and the start was horrible. I mean, they didn't even get a shot attempt for 10 minutes. You had a shot on goal, and it was just Samuelson has a horrendous turnover near the end of the period, and you leave the period down 2-0, and then you come out in the second period. And you figure it out. You get the first five shots. You score three goals. You're only down a goal. You look like you've picked up the momentum. It looked like you've gotten some energy. It looks like you're back. And then 15 seconds into the third period, there's a tip-in goal, and that's that. The air went out of them, and they went back to playing horrible again. So, you know, they didn't get good goaltending. They haven't for two games now. It was turnover after turnover after turnover. It just seems like this season, either they play really good defense and then they can't score goals, or they play horrendous defense and they score goals. But it's not enough because they give up six in two games in a row to teams that are beatable teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on a three-game road trip here. Yeah, you know the old saying, if you go 500 on the road and play well at home, you're going to be a good team. They still have a chance to be 500 on this trip, but I think it would be a disappointing 500. Mm-hmm. Even if they beat the Blackhawks tomorrow and take 3 out of 6 points, I still don't think people will be happy with what they've seen in these last three games. And here we are again. You know, for years now, we're changing coaches. We're changing general managers. We're overhauling the team. And, you know, well, brand new coach, but guess what? They're talking about the same things afterwards, which are not wrong. I mean, Alex Tuch was very honest in his assessment last night and everything. And so was Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, you know, Tuch talking about lack of urgency, lack of effort. Where have we heard that before? You know, it was all Don Granato's fault. Get a new coach. All his fault. I'm not saying he wasn't partially to blame, but it seems like players are never blamed. It's the coach's fault. So you have a brand new coach who has a totally different philosophy, who holds players accountable. So far, Quinn's been out of the lineup. So far, Lafferty has been out of the lineup. Nothing changes. And it's just, you know, I don't know what to tell you because they've done it all. They've changed everything many times. None of the changes seem to work. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, the new captain, they came out hungrier than us. Really? Rasmus Dahlin, you haven't made the playoffs in six-year career. And the team's not hungry enough? I have trouble with all of this stuff.
Yeah, I can see, and I can tell, and I share your frustration. I did watch Lindy Ruff's post-game press conference last night. I know that you were in there with that, and I listened to you and the questions about the defense. What is happening with this defensive core? Why are they struggling with the puck?
They shouldn't be this bad. I mean, it starts with Rasmus Dahlin. Rasmus Dahlin was drafted to be an elite defenseman in the National Hockey League. He was drafted to be one of the top one, two, or three defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's not even close. He's playing the worst hockey of his career right now. He had the injury that kept him out of training camp. It seems almost obvious to me that it's it's affecting his play. But even, you know, when he's not hurt, I mean, he's not one of the best defensemen in the league. I mean, the NHL Network picked him the 11th best defenseman in the league. Yeah, that I can buy. He should be, Quinn Hughes should not be a better defenseman than him. He was picked ahead of Quinn Hughes and was supposed to be much better. But if you redrafted right now, Rasmus Dahlin's probably the third overall pick behind Quinn Hughes and Brady Tkachuk. You know, and it's just, look at the teams that are good. You know, Colorado has Makar, Hedman with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You need a linchpin like that. The Sabres thought they were drafting that. And it hasn't, I still think he has it in him, but it hasn't come out yet. Even in his all-star years, he's still not one of the best in the NHL. I think there's more to give there. But I don't know if he can ever get his frustrations out of the way, because frustrations take over his game, and then he's just not there. I mean, look at the play last night. I mean, it was an easy breakout, easy, and he complicates it, gets two guys on him, gets railed into the wall, which is like a third guy, of course turns the puck over. 10 seconds or less later, it's in the net. Because he's out of the play. And now you got people running down the slot all by themselves. Puck, of course, gets to one of them, and it's in the net. It just, you know, Matias Samuelsson is just not even a shell of himself. He was a top four defenseman, and then, you know, he got that shoulder injury last year, and it's just multiple turnovers to a point that it's time to put Bryson in the lineup. I mean, he's shot. I mean, he's already taken Quinn out of the lineup. He's already taken Lafferty out of the lineup. It's time to take Samuelsson out of the lineup. He is killing them. And, it's just the last two games defensively, it's not just defensemen. The forwards are just as guilty, too. They're just totally out of sync. And still, was all said and done, look at the Penguin game. You scored 5 5-on-5 goals. You outscored them 5-2. 5-on-5. If you score 5 5-on-5 goals, you should win the game 100% of the time. 100. You should never lose if you're putting 5 5-on-5 goals in the net. But the other team had 2 power play goals. Another one was 3 seconds after a power play ended, a shorthanded goal, and a 6-on-5 goal. Well, how many? The Sabres get nothing on the special teams. Nothing. They do have 1 shorthanded goal. And no power play goals.
They're 0-for-17, Paul. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And last night is the first night I could actually say there were chances that they didn't put in the net, but they finally got it into the zone, got it worked around to get good scoring chances. Paterka had a good one-timer that was stopped. Cousins had 2 open chances from the slot. One was blocked and one was saved. They weren't getting that before, so... Really, in my mind, that was the first game where the power play actually generated scoring chances. I mean, remember in the beginning, they couldn't even get the puck in the zone in the beginning of the year, yet get set up to try to get scoring chances. So, I mean, I guess you say baby steps, but still, you are not going to win if your power play is bad. You're just not. And... for 2 games now, they haven't gotten saves, which they had been getting in the first 4 games from both their goaltenders. I think there was 1 bad goal in 4 games between the 2 of them. That was when Luukkonen got caught out of the net in Europe. And other than that, they were good. But Luukkonen, he couldn't make a big save for him. And Levi last night could not make a big save for him. And if you're going to play like that, you better have a goaltender bailing you out, and they didn't.
Paul Hamilton in the Western Hotline. Okay, you just said a minute ago, players, we have to be accountable. It's not, you switch coaches and yet things don't change. What about the special teams? Who does that fall on? What can they do? Is that on the players? Is there something coaching that they have to revisit here? Where does that go?
Well, they do have the players that they have. And, you know, it was last year. It's the head coach's power play and penalty kill. And then the assistant coaches coach what the head coach wants them to do. So what Lindy Ruff does is he sits down with Seth Appert. They discuss their ideas on the power play. And then Lindy Ruff comes up with, all right, this is what we need to do on the power play. And then Seth Appert coaches it. They've tried to mix things around with the power play. I mean, I think to myself, if you have Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin and Paterka and Quinn, I mean, Cousins is a power play machine when he's on Team Canada. They couldn't stop him. I mean, he was constantly putting the puck in the net on the power play. When you have players like that, you should be scoring on the power play. 2 years ago, they were one of the top three power plays for most of the year. I believe they finished around ninth because it slumped in March. But for the better part of the year, they were leading the league or in the top three with the same guys. And now they have trouble even getting the thing into the zone. And a lot of that is Dahlin and power. I mean, they're quarterbacking the power play, but the other teams don't have to respect them because neither one of them shoot that often. So it's like, all right, well, they're not going to shoot. We can go take care of other needs on our penalty kill because they're not going to hurt us from the point. And until they do, or until there's more than Tage Thompson that's dangerous or J.J. Paterka that's dangerous, they're just going to keep spinning their wheels.
Paul, the other issue with the special teams is giving opportunities. They've 21 power play opportunities to the other team. I'm looking. The undisciplined penalty the other night, you tell me. I mean, was that an undisciplined penalty in overtime by Tage Thompson? Looked like there was no need for that trip with the leg there. You know, you tell me about where discipline is with this team and taking those penalties.
Yeah, that was part of the reason Lafferty wound up in the press box. Two offensive zone penalties. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they take too many penalties, and they're dumb penalties. I mean, they're lazy penalties. You know, the guy got ahead of me, so I'm going to hook him. You know, or, you know, they don't take care of their stick, and next thing you know, there's a high stick. They're not trying to high stick anybody, but you still have to be responsible for your stick. You know, you're down a man against Los Angeles, a game that you've basically dominated. It's tie game. And Samuelson decides to slash down on the guy's stick and snaps his stick. That's a penalty every single time. That has to be called. There's two penalties that are probably going to be called in that spot. That one, three penalties. A high stick with blood or the puck gets shot out of the arena. That's it. Otherwise, it's your fair game. You want to cross-check somebody 55 times in front of the net, go for it. They're not going to call it. They're not going to put you down two men. But you do that, and you smash the guy's stick on a slash, off you go. 5-on-3 for the Kings. You lose the hockey game because of a stupid penalty.
Paul Hamilton, Paul, you were in Columbus last night. Did you happen to see the Goudreau Memorial? What's the vibe around, you know, the organization? I know they had a really, really touching tribute in the home game earlier in the week, leaving the left wing open and the 13 seconds off the clock. But, you know, you were there last night. What was that like?
Yeah, it's a beautiful memorial, and they've done a great job. I tweeted out a few pictures from when you come in. They have, you know, a picture of Goudreau on the entrance as you come in near the front door, and, you know, his lifetime, and they have a banner, you know, also honoring him and the former owner who has also passed away. Number 13 is behind both goals in the concourse. They have the memorial, which is extremely well done. So Johnny Goudreau will never be forgotten in Columbus or in that arena, and nor should he be. And they've done the best they can with it. You know, I can't imagine what Monahan's going through. I mean, the reason he came to Columbus is his best friend was playing there. Yeah. They had a great chemistry together in Calgary. So he signed as a free agent to come there to play with him on the same line. And then this happens. I can't even imagine what he's going through right now. He, you know, the families are very close, you know, and, you know, I'm sure the Monahans grieve for the Goudreaus also. And I just, as I said, I can't imagine what he's going through.
All right, Paul, tomorrow Sabres at Blackhawks, 8 p.m. We're expecting, I would think, UPL in this type of situation. Would that be pretty accurate? Do you know yet?
Yeah, Levi did nothing to say, you know what, let's break the back and forth. Now, had he committed maybe 39 out of 40 saves and won the game, maybe he does get the start. But they've been alternating. They've been good until both their last starts. You know, both of them had two starts and both played well. So I think they just stick with my guess is they just stick with the alternating. They're not practicing today, but we'll see them at the morning skate tomorrow, And my guess would be Luukkonen would get the goal. We'll see if they make a change on defense and put Bryson in the lineup. We'll see if Quinn gets back. And like Kulik scored, by the way. I mean, he's been close.
That was a positive last night.
Yeah, he's been close.
Yeah.
And he did get a goal, so maybe Jack Quinn's going to have to wait his turn now.
Let me ask you about Jack, because there have been a lot of chatter, a lot of online stuff, some metrics, some numbers, how much you want to dig into that about his skating, and it just does not seem to be quite where it needs to be. In fact, pretty far off from where it needs to be. Have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, it's, you know, the Achilles was over a year ago, yes, but you wonder, does that take someone's speed away from them somewhat? What I really notice are the turnovers. He's always been a very smart player, and it just doesn't seem like he's making good puck decisions here. Now, in the game, when Lindy Ruff talked to him in the win against Florida, all of a sudden he was shooting the puck. He had one shot in the first three games. I think he had three shot attempts in the first 5 minutes of that game. And if he continues to do that, he'll score goals. He's an elite shooter, so he's got to be shooting the puck. But, you know, he's in a funk right now where, you know, he's making bad puck decisions and he's obviously frustrated with it, and that makes it worse. And then he makes worse puck decisions. So we'll see if him maybe taking a breath, being out of the lineup. And as I said, with Kulik scoring, I don't think it's guaranteed that he's back in the lineup against the Blackhawks.
All right, Paul. At PHAM1717, of course, WGR550.com. Have a great weekend. We'll look forward to your reports tomorrow.
You too. Take care.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Of course, Paul Hamilton, whenever he comes up on WGR, is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be our guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay. Let's take a look briefly at this weekend in the NFL. We have a few minutes here, and then we'll get to Pat Hammer coming up at the bottom of the hour for the weather in Buffalo and in Orchard Park for Sunday at 1 p.m. That's when the Bills take on the Titans. In the meantime, last night, Broncos all over the Saints 33-10 to start the week. And then Sunday, 9:30 a.m., another London game. We've got another London game at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Patriots and Drake May against the Jags. This is that Jags back-to-back thing. And, you know, I have no idea what to expect with the Jags. After Drake May, nice debut last week, some three touchdown passes, but the Jags are there all week. Patriots are going over, like the Bills were last year. I still think the Jags should win this game, but man, I have no idea what to expect from them. Seahawks at the Falcons. This is a Seahawks team that started off so hot this year. They were 3-0. Now they're 3-3. The Bills get the Seahawks next week in Seattle. And the Falcons, they've kind of turned their season around here after a couple of tough losses early. They've won three in a row. They're 4-2. I like the Falcons' offense. I think the Falcons are going to be there right in the NFC South mix and race. I picked them to win the division. Didn't look good after the first couple of weeks, but now it's starting to look a lot better. Seahawks at Falcons at 1 p.m. Bengals at Browns, the post-Amari Cooper version of the Cleveland Browns. They need a win badly. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is in any danger. He's a two-time coach of the year. He's done a great job, but it's not going well in Cleveland right now. Now they get a Cincinnati Bengals team that just is trying to get off the mat themselves. I mean, for both organizations, for both teams this year, 2-4, 1-5, not where either expected to be at this point. Texans at Packers. Root for the Packers if you're a Bills fan, because yes, if the Bills are going to be in this race in the AFC, I know the Texans beat the Bills. They got a leg up on them already. They're a tiebreaker on them. But you still want to try and give them some losses. Let's see what the Texans do in Green Bay against Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, who are coming off two straight wins. And, of course, the Texans, they're 5-1. They're coming off three straight wins, including one against the Bills. And then they just beat the heck out of the Patriots last week, 41-24. Really good game. That's one of the games of the week here. Texans at Packers, 1 p.m. in Green Bay. Dolphins at Colts, still another week or two away. One game away. They have one more game, 2 weeks, because of a bye week, for Tua Tagovailoa's possible return. He could return against the Bills. He's not returning this week. So the Dolphins travel to Indy to take on the Colts. We'll see if Anthony Richardson plays in this game. He's been kind of questionable all week, but it's trending towards him playing, despite the fact that Joe Flacco's looked really good. Their head coach, Steichen, says it's still going to be Anthony Richardson's team, and he's the quarterback when he's healthy. I think the Colts should win this game. I wouldn't be stunned if the Miami Dolphins do, but I think the Colts should win this game. They seem like the better team in a better situation here playing at home at 1 p.m. Lions at Vikings, super big NFC North matchup. Very good. This is combined 9-2 with these records, folks. Lions 4-1. Combined 9-1. Vikings 5-0. They have a bye week they're coming off, right? I mean, boy, could the Vikings go 6-0 and take real charge there over the would it be charge, I guess? Let's take a look at the NFC North standings. Every team has a winning record. It's going to be a battle there. Vikings 5-0, Detroit 4-1, Chicago 4-2, but man, it'll be a huge win. This is a really great game. Lions at Vikings at 1 p.m., and obviously no Aiden Hutchinson anymore for the Lions with that terrible, terrible leg break last week. Eagles at Giants. Eagles need a win for their coach, for them, against the Giants, who they are better than. But the Giants, nice couple of weeks here, starting to turn things around a little bit. They've won two of their last four. They're playing better defense. They've not given up more than 20 points in the last four games. This is a game where I think the Eagles should win. But it's the Eagles and the way they're playing and the inconsistencies. And the Giants starting to kind of get a little bit better here, it feels like. You never know what happens in New York. Raiders at the Rams. Raiders can't really find their way. Rams, I mean, they're 1-4. They can't either. They're really, really banged up. Did I hear Tre'Davious White is a healthy scratch now for the Rams? He's actually not even playing?
I know he was last week, but he's again.
Well, I mean, I don't know about this week. I'm saying he has been. He was last week, right?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize that last week till I heard that.
I think that was the first week, though. I'm not sure.
So what I'm saying is he's become a healthy scratch now, right? And obviously not going well there. But this is Vegas. This is two former L.A. Raiders. It's Vegas Raiders now against the Rams. Bills play the Rams later in the year. I'm not sure what they're going to be at that point. I would think they beat the Raiders, but the Raiders are just a yo-yo. You never know what you're going to get from them. Panthers at Commanders. Panthers were a really nice story for a week when Andy Dalton came into play, but man, their defense is just horrible. 38, 36, 34. They've given up 47 in week one, and the Commanders with Jaden Daniels look fantastic right now. Commanders should take care of business here. Probably a high-scoring game, though, between these two teams. Chiefs at Niners, rematch of the Super Bowl. Chiefs coming off a bye. Andy Reid, one of the greatest all-time, if not the greatest, coming off a bye. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to pick them to win this game. This is a Super Bowl rematch. I've been waiting for this game. I know it's coming off a bye with the Chiefs. I just don't love the Chiefs' weapons on offense right now. I think the Niners are going to have a plan for them. I'm going to pick the Niners to win this game. But, of course, it is the Chiefs, and they certainly could. Jets at Steelers. This is your Sunday night game. Boy, what is going on with the Steelers quarterback situation? Who's playing quarterback? Justin Fields. Did he even say yet? Has he announced officially yet? Do we even know? He has not done that. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. We know he's playing quarterback for the Jets. We also know that Devontae Adams is going to be there. Jets at Steelers. Big, big, big monster game for the Jets to try and keep pace in the AFC East and the AFC overall. If they lose this game 2-5, I mean, where do they go? And then the Steelers, they can afford a loss, but they really need to keep pace and do what they're doing in the AFC North, because I don't think what they're doing is sustainable. But man, that defense, if they can get after Aaron Rodgers, they have a great chance to win this game and go to 5-2. Ravens at Buccaneers Monday night. Chargers at Cardinals Monday night. We'll talk about both these games on Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, let's take a timeout here. And of course, we have to take a break. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples. We'll be back in a snap. The official apple of the Buffalo Bills. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio with you. Great Friday. Great Friday. Always in a good mood on a Friday. Heading towards a good weekend. Looks like good weather. We're going to get with Patrick Hammer in one moment. But first, I want to tell you, Sean McDermott's also meeting with the rest of the Buffalo media right now, just at his weekly radio interview about, half hour ago or so, a little bit more than that. But he's meeting right now, and a couple notes with them, in addition to what he said with me. Ed Oliver expecting him to play. And James Cook as well, as long as we knew that, though, you know, because he's been a full participant, looks pretty good. Asked him about that. But Ed Oliver on track to play. And noteworthy, he says Tyler Bass will be their kicker on Sunday. Tyler Bass will be the Bills kicker on Sunday. So anybody thinking about elevations or somebody else kicking, doesn't look like that's the case. I mean, you could still elevate the new kicker and have Tyler Bass kick, but that's what Sean McDermott said. All right, we'll take it now to Patrick Hammer, who joins me for a look at this weekend's weather on the Western Hotline.
Break it down. Time.
We love Hammer Time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Well, Pat, it's we got through a few ugly days earlier this week in Buffalo, but I think things have been trending pretty well this week.
Yeah, and a quick little recap, if you for just 20 seconds, about the wind you guys had at the game Monday night in New Jersey. And I know that wind was a concern, and as it turned out, it really became it played a role with the missed field goals and extra points. We got to believe that wind had something to do with that, right? But it goes to show you that even a swirling wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour can really cause issues. And I remember you texted me before the game, and you're like, it's really windy right now. And I checked, and the airport there right close to the stadium had a wind gust of 50 miles an hour. So my point is, the wind did die down, and it wasn't as bad as it was earlier before the game. But, boy, it still played a role in the kicking game.
No doubt. It was a bit chilly, man. Down in the field, I will tell you, that's the one thing. People are like, oh, my God, it's a lot colder. I think the wind chill had to be pretty bad because it wasn't, like, super cold temperature. But I'm telling you, in that stadium, down in the field, the wind chill got pretty bad, Pat.
Well, yeah, it went from mid-60s that day down into the low 50s. And you bring in a wind, no doubt. There is definitely a wind chill. Something we're not going to have to deal with this Sunday, that's for sure.
All right, well, let's get to it. Looks like, from all indications, a nice weather pattern for this weekend. You tell me. And I also kind of want to take a look at this particular time of having a game and having this kind of weather and how nice that is in Buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I heard you earlier say it's been a month since we've played at home, and the last time we had a 1 o'clock home game was over 6 weeks ago. Hard to believe. And the weather on Sunday will be better than that day, which we played the Cardinals at 1 o'clock.
I was wondering that. I said to Yana, my wife, they go to the games, my wife and son, I said, I think it's going to be warmer this Sunday than it was for the Arizona Cardinals opener in September.
Yeah, it will be. And a lot sunnier. I think that day saw a little bit of clouds late because it rained the next day. But anyway, this Sunday looks, I mean, you can't write a better script for not only having great weather for tailgating and for play, but also showcasing for the audience who may be able to tune in. I mean, it's going to be a wash in bright color, and you got it's just going to be a perfect, perfect afternoon.
I love it.
Sunshine, a kickoff temperature in the upper 60s. We probably hit 70 in the first quarter. There will be a little bit of a breeze. Okay, a southwesterly breeze, 10 to 15. You'll probably see the flags blowing a little bit at the top of the stadium, but it should not be an impactful wind at all. But there will be a little bit of a breeze, but full sunshine, absolutely beautiful.
Okay, good, because Joe DiBiase, he was in here, leaving his show, and he said, hey, I thought I saw maybe some higher wind gusts maybe on Sunday. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, is that possible?
Yeah, there will be a breeze, okay?
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to be gust, certainly not what you had at MetLife on Monday. But it's, you have a sunny, warm day this time of the year. That kind of condition can sometimes breed a wind in and of itself. So there will be a breeze, but I just don't think, could there be a 20 mile an hour gust? Yeah, there could, but I just don't think it's going to have much of an impact on Sunday's weather at all.
All right, so I have the official game book forecast from week one. Okay, yeah. At kickoff, officially by the NFL, at kickoff, it was 61 degrees with 20 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, there we go. So,
oh my gosh,
we're already better than September 8th, right? And here it is going to be October 20th. Think about that.
No doubt about it. What are we looking at for the beyond that here in Western New York? So we have a nice weekend coming up. What about into next week?
Yeah. So, and then we're going to quickly peek at Seattle.
Yeah.
So this weekend looks stellar, both Saturday and Sunday tailgating. For the early risers, you're in the 40s early, 50s, 60s, and then, of course, game time around 70. Monday, Tuesday look fantastic. Tuesday, we're in the mid-70s. It's not uncommon to have a stretch of warm weather mid to late month. It happened actually last year, leading up to Thanksgiving leading up to Halloween when it actually snowed. But we had a weather pattern like this a year ago. It's going to be gorgeous through probably the first part of Wednesday. Wednesday, we're back in the 70s, but we finally get a little bit of rain Wednesday afternoon and then into parts of Thursday.
Seattle. Always a challenge to pick that Seattle weather prediction, right? I mean, I can imagine like what meteorology is like in Seattle. There's this you know, narrative, I guess, that it's always rainy or cloudy. But, I mean, is that true? And is it going to be like that next week when the Bills go there?
Well, first of all, we average 60% more rain in Buffalo than Seattle, just so you know that. Seattle does get a lot of cloudy, damp days. But it is not as wet as you think, meaning their yearly rain total is not as high as you would think, partly because you have this big mountain range in the way. The Olympic Mountains kind of block a lot of the moisture off the Pacific as those storms roll in. But there's a lot of cloudy and cool days, and of course a lot of rainy days too. Looking, and this is the time of the year where it starts getting wet in Seattle. And I will say, it's way out there, but the long-range charts are pointing excuse me, I had a chance of rain a week from Sunday. It'll be midday Sunday their time.
Yeah.
The way, though, that stadium is set up, having used to live there, what is it, Lumen Field? It's got this really nice overhang on both sides, even though it is open air, and it's got a north-south face, or opening, I should say. So storms that come off the sound, the rain is often blocked by the configuration of the stadium. So it can be pretty wet and not have a huge impact there, but the wind can certainly swirl in there too. But right now there is a chance of rain for the Seahawks game, Bills next Sunday.
Well, here's the good news. All Sunday games pretty much coming up, right? I mean, like we can talk on Friday and I don't have to ask, hey, what's it like, you know, in 3 days and they play on Monday night. So you have a little bit better handle the Sunday games. Now, granted, some are West Coast, a couple 4:25s in there, 4 p.m.s, but it's pretty much all Sunday games, which is great. And I also, before you go, want to ask you about this El Nino. Is it La Nina? No, it's the La Nina, right? It's the weak La Nina. I don't know. What am I reading here about the long word? What we should be paying attention to as far as the long-term forecast?
Okay. If you use that as a gauge, winter weather has got a couple of variables, but the La Nina, El Nino, La Nada, whatever, does play a role. And this year, we're looking at a weak La Nina, which is very – I'm going to give you just a couple bullet points here. A, if you look at all the weak La Niñas, if you use that as your only guide, more of those winters have been colder and have been snowier than average. There have been outliers. There have been mild La Niñas, and there have been snowless La Niñas. But I'm just going based on historical averages, and I will say this, the setup is eerily similar to 2022, where we had a weak La Niña. We had a relatively mild winter with two major exceptions. And, of course, that was the winter that brought us the November crazy snow and then, of course, the blizzard. Do those events repeat themselves? Not necessarily, but the weather pattern has just got a similar look where, okay, the overall winter may not be the coldest ever, but there could be some crazy events thrown in there.
Pat, thank you for the very nice report for this weekend. You are everybody's favorite person. They all love you when you come on and give those kinds of reports. Just want you to know that.
Glad to do it. It's finally nice to have a 1 o'clock game to talk about.
No doubt about it. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday Extra Point show and head to the weekend. All right, thanks a lot to Paul Hamilton. Thanks a lot to Sean McDermott for his weekly Friday interview as well. You can hear all of that on demand, WGR550.com. Thanks to you for listening all weekend long. And yeah, we have Sunday games now coming up, right? So we'll have McDermott every Friday giving us an injury report. Everything's kind of back to routine after all the different primetime games and different days of the week and things like that. We have Sabres Live coming up next after the Extra Point show here. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and then it'll be One Bills Live Show with the Bulldog at 3 p.m. here on WGR. Did you see how Twitter/X is changing the block feature?
I did. I don't like that. Like,
what are we doing?
A block is supposed to block.
I don't want. I get it. Like, so basically, if you block someone now, they just can't read your tweets. They don't see it at all. Can't like interact with you. The way they're going to make it now is after whenever they do this is you can block someone. They can't interact with you, but they can still read your tweets. I mean, I don't know. They're still going to be, you know what's going to happen? I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. They'll just take screenshots. And, oh, this person, and, you know, whatever, however. It's just,
but, like,
what
why?
Are we doing?
I don't understand, like, the point. Like,
I don't block a ton of people. I do block some. I have close to 190,000 followers and probably, like, 200 blocks. I don't think that's a lot.
No, that's a very low ratio.
A lot is very as much spam than anything, like spam or fake account, a fake Adam Schefter. I'm like, I have to block it so I don't get tricked.
I've gotten tricked before.
Yeah, so I do that. I had to block someone today because every time I have an uncomfortable conversation with a caller, they tell me how angry of a person I am, which is just stupid. So I decided I'm just tired of you. So I just blocked you. So anyway, either way.
That's what it's for. It's for like when you just like every social media has a block feature and they're all the same. They all work universally together to say, hey, if you don't want someone to see your stuff, press this little button and they'll go away.
Yeah. And like, I don't know when they're rolling this out, but I saw that come across and I didn't love it for sure. So tomorrow, Sabres, 8 p.m. Against the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, we'll have that game for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm assuming the bet 1520 tomorrow for UB against Western Michigan as well. That's a 3:30 p.m. kick. So the Western Michigan is a 1-point favorite. This is a big, big game for the MAC conference. I mean, UB's playing good football right now. It's a big game for the MAC. Syracuse is off this week, and then they have Pitt next week if you're looking for that game. And, of course, tonight, baseball again. Oh, man. Yankees against Guardians. Man, Yankees should have done it last night. Louis Hill against Gavin Williams tonight. I do not totally trust Louis Hill, but he can be great at times. He can be not great at times as well. The Yankees and the Guardians tonight. First pitch is scheduled for 8:08 p.m. And then also tonight we have, oh yeah, before that, Dodgers-Mets. Dodgers can wrap it up tonight. That's a 5:08 p.m. Eastern time start. I don't know. I wouldn't mind if the games were on at the same time. I don't love the 5 p.m. baseball starts. It's like, it's just too tough for me. Like, there's different things going on. I'm like, man, I missed half the game because I had stuff going on. It's 5 p.m., right? Like, you're still working. You're at dinner or whatever. I wouldn't mind if they had even, I don't know, 8 and, I guess, you know, West Coast. I don't want to go too late. I don't know, 7 and 8 would make a little
late
more
sense. Late on a Friday, though, is not
I get
bad.
Why they do it. They want the maximum audience for both.
But, like, a Friday, if you're late, you know, tomorrow's Saturday. If you don't have anything to do, you just stay up late and watch the baseball.
What do you got going on this weekend?
I am playing what looks to be my final round of golf tomorrow morning, which I'm excited to play, but I'm also not excited because it's possibly my last round of golf of the year. And then I'm doing some fall stuff on Sunday before the game and just enjoying the game.
I did not thank Patrick Hamer. I need to do that as well because obviously he gave you the great forecast for this weekend to play some golf. And we'll be into he said mid-70s on like Tuesday. Well, that's awesome. Because that's my day off, man. Maybe I should
play
some golf.
I don't think it'll be my last round if that's the forecast on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe you want to get some in right there. All right, thanks a lot for hanging with me today. Thanks to Sean McDermott, Pat Hammer, and Paul Hamilton. Sabres Live up next. Have a great, great weekend. Bills Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. I'll be back on Monday with the reaction show on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app